This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy the podcast.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. We are waiting on our guest, but in the meantime, I did want to talk a little bit about Hunter Biden, because that's what our guest is going to come on for. We're having Miranda Devine on, hopefully, within the next couple of seconds here. But Hunter Biden has had a lot of issues, which we've all known about. But now it came out yesterday that J.P. Morgan Chase subpoenaed in 2019 over Hunter Biden's business deals in China. Hunter Biden's bank transactions involving the Bank of China were subpoenaed 17 months before the 2020 election. The timing of this is also interesting because it's right before the laptop from hell was released and or was discovered. So we have all of this news. And I had kind of said yesterday that it's a little disappointing because nothing ever seems to come from it. And the Biden crime family just continues. And you don't hear. But here's a weird part of the story. The New York Times is actually suing the State Department over a FOIA. They're asking for emails from emails, including ones from Tony Bobulinski. And it says the New York Times, this is also from the New York Post, the New York Times filed a lawsuit against the U.S. State Department on Monday in an effort to obtain emails between Hunter Biden and officials with the Romanian embassy, blaming the department for failing to hand over the documents it had requested via a FOIA in a timely manner. The paper is seeking to obtain emails that the Romanian embassy sent between 2015 and 2019 to a number of people, specifically naming President Joe Biden's son, as well as his former business associate, Tony Bobulinski. Now, that's a name you don't hear as often as you probably should. A very credible source with a lot of information into the Biden crime family. We will get to all of this. Maybe we can reschedule Miranda for 1:30 if she calls in. But there's also a lot of news regarding California today, and it kind of has to do with our poll question. So I might bring this in right now because this will restore your faith that people are paying attention. A bill that would have created the nation's only government-funded universal health care system died in the California Assembly on Monday. California, here we come, right back to where we started. You know what, though? Democrats needed 41 votes for this to happen. Fortunately, the Republicans were acting judiciously, and they decided not to go along with it. Progressives have dreamed about a universal healthcare system in the U.S. for decades. Healthcare is so expensive, they say, in part because the nation's healthcare system is paid for by multiple parts. So they think we should have a single-payer system. The government is the single-payer that would keep prices. This is the idea, you know, the idea versus what the reality is. The idea is that would keep prices under control and make healthcare available to all. The simplest way I could describe why this would be a bad idea. I don't even think I need a full sentence to explain it. I'm just going to say one thing. DMV or RMV, whatever you want to call it now. Have you ever been? Do you really want the government? And the part of the government that I don't get is that they have so much money. And they, by their own account, by Joe Biden's account, he's given these states money for everything. Remember the American Rescue Plan? Tons and tons of money. They don't really know where it's going. You know, they don't really know how the states are using it. Some of them are using it judiciously. Some of them are not. And we have all of these issues. All I hear about day in and day out is more and more problems. And so I guess what I would say to that is, it's like if you keep failing at work and then you go in and you say, I really think I should head up this next project. Your boss might say to you, why don't you figure out the other stuff you got going on? But no, the Democrats have all of this failure everywhere they turn. And their first response is, we should take over healthcare. We should be in charge of your healthcare because we're in charge of a lot of other things. And those are going so well for us recently.
It's like Howie says, the government can't even deliver the mail.
Right.
Do you want them to take healthcare on? Come on.
But that's what I mean. If you go even, forget the mail, if you go to the DMV and you try to get your license, that alone should scare you away from this. While other nations have adopted such systems, it's been impossible to establish in the United States. Vermont actually enacted the nation's first such system in 2011. But you know why it was abandoned, Jared? It cost too much.
What? But this is the magical unicorn. It's free. It's already paid for. It's like Build Back Better Act.
This is from SanFranciscoGate.com, and it's actually, it really sets up the issue nicely because it gives you kind of a gauge as to what the prices would look like. The biggest hurdle is cost. A study of a 2017 proposal for universal healthcare in California estimated that it would cost $331 billion. Which is about $356 billion in Joe Biden's America due to inflation. So meanwhile, that was my own take on that. That wasn't SFGate.com. Meanwhile, California is expected to account for about $517 billion in healthcare spending this year. Now, that is mostly going to come from employers and households, but it's the total cost would be $517 billion. So just to give you an idea, $517 billion is, I guess what they're saying, is roughly what it would cost if we were going to go to a universal healthcare system in California alone. California's state operating budget, which covers, you know, schools, courts, roads, bridges, all that good stuff, their budget is $262 billion this year. So where are we making up for those other billions?
Double the taxes.
Yeah, to pay for the plan, Democrats have introduced a separate bill that would impose hefty new income taxes on businesses and individuals, just what San Francisco needs. And that's what fueled much of the opposition to the plan, I would think. Supporters say consumers are already paying exorbitant amounts for healthcare, saying a single-payer system would save money by eliminating deductibles, copays, and expensive monthly insurance premiums. And this was a quote from the Assembly Republican leader. She said, the fact that a proposal for a government takeover of our state's entire healthcare system even made it this far just shows how out of touch the Democratic Party is from the needs of everyday Californians. Yeah, actually, as crazy as people in California can be, they have shot down this idea multiple times. But that's how our government works. It doesn't matter how many times you say, I don't want it. They are still going to try again.
Like the automatic gas tax. How many times did we say no to that thing and it just keeps coming back like a zombie?
Yeah, it's because we don't understand. We don't understand how great it would be for us if we just had it. So they're just going to keep doing it until you stop paying attention for one day. And that's the day it's going to come to fruition. Really quickly here, we didn't actually get to spend as much time on this as I wanted, Jared. So I was telling you about the groundhog who died, right? And this got me thinking, Jared has had a real strong opinion on groundhogs since last year. And for some, Lord knows why, but for some reason, I've always remembered your very strange, specific opinion on groundhogs.
Yes, this is exploitation of the groundhog on the worst scale. Where is PETA? Like, this is what PETA was meant for.
You're parading
this groundhog around in a top hat. Of all things, assigning it behaviors that it clearly does not have, just to make
a
cheap buck. No, I believe the groundhog can see its shadow. It has eyes.
You don't believe that that indicates whether or not we're going to have 6 more weeks of spring? By the way, I believe it's if it sees its shadow, that means more winter.
Yes.
If it doesn't see its shadow,
that means less winter.
Do I have that right?
I believe that is correct.
I mix it up every time.
Yeah.
When you were giving your opinion about the top hat, I noticed you crossed your arms really staunchly to show your opposition to this. You feel like they're being taken advantage of.
Yes. I mean, they're helpless, defenseless little animals. I don't want to sound... I mean, yeah, sure, they bite people and they're probably awful predators, but...
But they're just a human being.
Yes. They didn't sign up for this. They don't deserve this. It's a stupid tradition.
It's not true. Like being a child star.
Yes.
I didn't want this life. I didn't want this top hat.
Yes. This is going to turn into the... Was it the kid from Ladybugs?
I don't even know.
Jonathan Brandeis, I think, wound up... This does not have a good ending for the groundhogs.
Well, you know what's funny is the groundhogs really... speaking of not having a good ending for the groundhogs, remember when Mayor Bill de Blasio was... What's the groundhog in New York called?
I don't know.
Yes, you do. You remember. Yeah, I know. A victim.
But to be fair to that groundhog, if Bill de Blasio tried to touch me...
Oh, hold on. Staten Island Chuck. And he held it. It was a crazy, crazy thing. He held it, and then he didn't get a good grip on it, and then it bit him, and then he threw it, and then the groundhog died a couple days later, I think. And I don't know if we ever did an autopsy. I don't know if it was a direct correlation, but it certainly didn't help. His meeting with Bill de Blasio didn't help his life at all.
Exactly. Did that ground? I mean, I'm glad Bill de Blasio got bit, but...
Of course, we all are.
I mean, but did the groundhog really have to go through that? And 603, hey, Jared, I suppose you think the world is round. I think the world is a computer simulation, so there.
Well, how do we get into the flat Earth conversation?
It's 603 tweeted in.
Just because you don't think that groundhogs, I agree with you on this, but I, once again, our condolences to Milltown Mel, who was, according to the Post, a local celebrity in New Jersey.
Okay, is this like Bozo the Clown? Does anybody remember Bozo the Clown? It was like a clown show out of Chicago, and then they had like regional different bozos. But yeah, there was only the real Bozo was in Chicago. This is like a Punxsutawney Phil franchise thing we're doing now.
No. They all are different, though. They're all different.
Peoria Pete? What does he have to
say? It's Staten Island Chuck, Milltown Mel, Punxsutawney Phil. Like, everyone has a different thing, you know? It's not just... And I don't know, though. The question is, Milltown Mel is now dead. They get a new one. They can't for a while because there's just none
is
in stock.
It's
a supply chain crisis. but once they do, I guess, then your question
Pete
comes
Buttigieg,
into play.
Get us groundhogs now.
Then your question does come into play once they get a new one. Will they just call it Milltown Mel? It's like when your hamster dies, you just go out and buy a new one and hope the kid doesn't notice.
You know, the 007 James Bond in the movie franchise, it just seamlessly goes from one person to another.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Christopher, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Christopher.
Grace, these idiots who want to take over everything from the government, or give it to the government, I should say, these are the same people who send their kids to $40,000 a year schools, and they only use private hospitals. So when they're willing to send their kids to public schools, when they're willing to use public hospitals that they've taken over, that's when I'll take any of these people seriously.
Yeah, and you know what, Christopher, you just made me think of another story I didn't print out, but I probably should, which was this exact situation with Representative Cori Bush. She doesn't want any of us to have access to police officers and to their protection that they provide us, but she wants private security. She spent a boatload of money on private security. And her reasoning, which she was very honest about, was that she deserves to be here. Her body deserves to be on this earth. To which we all said at the same time, me too? 844-500-4242. Can I get in on deserving to be here on earth? All right, we'll be right back. We'll take more of your calls. If you've ever craved a great glass of red wine, then you know the worst part is when you really want one, but you're like, ugh, I don't want to have that headache in the morning. I don't want to feel groggy. But the reason behind that is because a lot of wines are chemically processed to extend their shelf life. So now it's time to skip the middleman and have wine delivered directly to your home. Bonner Private Wines Partnership has exactly what you need. From my first sip, I could taste the freshness drifting across my palate. It complements whatever you're eating, steak, bolognese. It's just a really, really good. I'm having the Malbec right now, and it's absolutely delicious. Plus, I slept like a baby. No morning regrets, no headache. The Bonner Private Wines Partnership is no ordinary wine club. They don't just sell leftover bulk wine, which is what a lot of these companies do. They just slap a label on some bulk leftover wine. No. Bonner seeks honest wines that don't need to hide behind excess filtration, additives, all that junk. And they don't just add an inflated price. Bonner wants every pop of the cork to be an adventure. They take this very seriously. So join the Bonner Private Wines Partnership and have it delivered directly to your home. Your adventure awaits. Just go to Bonner. That's B-O-N-N-E-R, privatewines.com/grace for $60 off your purchase. Bonner, privatewines.com/grace. We'll be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. She's a master at pouncing, weaponizing, and seizing.
To give you a reference point, I'm somewhere between a snake and a mongoose. And a panther.
She's Grace Curley.
The opinions are just pouring in about the groundhog situation. We have really ignited a thunderstorm here. And, you know, the well wishes, or not well wishes, the condolences from Milltown Mel, including one from Howard Lawrence Carr, who's a big fan of the groundhogs. He's actually a champion for groundhogs everywhere. He wants to offer his condolences. And Jared, some people disagree with you. You're singing the blues for all of these groundhogs. And Paul Barkley on Twitter wrote to me, Punxsutawney Phil, not sure if that's the correct, Punxsutawney is a weird word. Punxsutawney Phil has it made. Fat and sassy all year, works one day a year. It's such a fun thing.
I sit around and cook some soups and eat bread and desserts and just get all fat and sassy. I sit around.
I mean, it's true. It's not a bad, it's not a bad life. Oh, so now you're going, yeah.
Even the gilded cage is still a cage. Prison is a prison.
Very true. All right. Now, Jared, since we're on the topic of stupid things in the news that we're both enjoying discussing, I would like your take on the Apple's newest emoji, the pregnant man emoji.
It is absolute insanity.
It really is. Actually, Tammy Bruce has a really good piece on this, because when you first see the headline, you're like, who cares, you know? But this is the way that the woke agenda works. It's like subtly destroying any idea of reality until you're gaslit and you have no idea what's happening. And the frog is boiled.
I'm going to say
you sound speechless. That's the sound I just heard.
Yes. I'm going to say this because I am... And I preface this with the trigger warning disclaimer, I am not a scientist.
Okay.
Genetic men lack the equipment to get pregnant. They lack the capacity to become pregnant. Now, what psychological, neuro, whatever, however you see yourself is different, but biologically speaking, a male is incapable of becoming pregnant. They do not have ovaries. They do not have a uterus. They do not have fallopian tubes. They don't have any of that.
Okay, so we should probably dump all of that hate speech right now before it goes out on the airwaves, because that is fundamentally unacceptable.
Yes, that's grandma killing, science denying on my part.
You know what got me thinking, though? Like, out of all the emojis, I mean, the pregnant man one is so stupid. And what Tammy Bruce points out is there's a group of people who decide what emojis are going to be made. And listen to this. It's directors from Microsoft, Netflix, Google, Adobe, Facebook, Amazon, Apple, and Intel. So there you go. That explains the woke emojis. But it got me thinking, what emoji do you use the most? You know, which one do you go back to? I really like the hand clapping one, or just the smiling one. I think all dads like the sunglass emoji. Howie does not go near emojis. He's not there yet. He's just getting into the texting. What's yours?
I would probably say the only time I really use emojis is with my girlfriend, and so it's the jazz hand slash hug emoji.
Oh, yeah, I like that one.
That's, you know, that we'll sign off on that. But that's really the only emoji that I would actually use on a consistent basis.
That's not
sometimes
a bad one.
Maybe the crying laughing.
Yeah.
If I don't want to type a response, but
we're learning so much about Jared today. It's almost a little too much.
Why is there
honest.
No groundhog emoji?
There might be. Are we sure? A pregnant groundhog. That's what we need. All right, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. It's great.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We've talked a little bit over the last couple of days about the media's reaction to Joe Rogan's podcast. And I think the funniest reaction so far is from Brian Stelter, because you're never going to see any self-reflection from the Hall Monitor-in-Chief, Brian Stelter. He's close. He's always close, though. That's the thing. He's one piece of the puzzle away from figuring out why people don't trust CNN, but he can't get there. And I think that right now would be a great time to do a little journalism in the news.
And now, news.
Very fake news.
I see a lot of excellent journalism being done.
Give me the press.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
How can you ask a question when you don't know the press?
He said that journalists make up stories and make up sources.
As a journalist, I don't really like being the story here.
Very fake news.
And many of your compatriots had to change their reporting, and they had to apologize, and they had to correct.
This is a golden age of journalism in a lot of ways.
Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get?
News.
So Brian Stelter is on the case, and he is going to figure out why people trust Joe Rogan instead of trusting the network that ran with the Russia hoax for over 2 years, and also tried to smear Joe Rogan for taking ivermectin and portrayed it as only a horse dewormer and not a medicine that was prescribed by doctors around the world for decades. So just that's just my take on it, but let's listen to Brian's take. Cut two.
The narrative is, I want to show all kinds of opinions.
Which sounds great, but not all opinions are created equal. You think about major newsrooms like CNN that have health departments and desks and operations that work hard on verifying information on COVID-19. And then you have talk show stars like Joe Rogan who just wing it, who make it up as they go along. And because figures like Rogan are trusted by people that don't trust real newsrooms, we have a problem that's much bigger than Spotify, much bigger than any single platform, Kate. But that's what is the heart of this right now.
I
stop
say,
it. Get some help.
Sometimes with videos, I'll tell people, I'll give a warning. I'll say, you're going to listen to the sound, but you really should watch the video. In this case, you should watch the video because the face he's making, it's like a fake detective face. He's like, and that's the problem, you see?
He's putting on the potato head glasses that are kind of slanted, so it looks like he's furled brows.
He's got the brow going. He's like, I'm trying to figure this out. And it's, meanwhile, though, and we brought this up earlier, but I think it's worth repeating, you have Brian Stelter, who's trying to figure out why people are more focused on the weed that's growing outside the ecosystem instead of CNN, which, by the way, ratings still incredibly low. At The View, Whoopi Goldberg says that the Holocaust was not about race, and Joy Behar has no real issue with that. She barely made a sound fighting against that, because she's here to fight about the stuff that really matters. Can I have cut five, please?
I was disappointed that more musicians and singers, etc., did not pull out. They're on Twitter all the time, trashing people who don't get vaccinated, yeah. And then they keep their music there. This would have been a good opportunity to show what you believe in, and I didn't see it. But I only saw two people from the 60s and 70s. Let's see some young people, Joe. Let's see Taylor and those guys take a stand.
I think.
Oh, they're always talking
those
over
guys.
Each other, too. Yeah, it's everyone's always chiming in over the other person. And if that wasn't crazy enough for you, this is journalism in the news. And, you know, Joy's frustrated with Taylor Swift. And over at Morning Joe, they are very frustrated about the truckers. Now, Jared gave us a little update on the truckers, because yesterday we were told the truckers were evil, grandma-killing, soup-stealing monsters.
Vandalizing, tearing down monuments.
Praying.
Scorpion fights, probably.
You know,
dog fights, who knows?
It's just unacceptable. The praying part is what really put me over the edge.
Monkey knife fights, all of it.
Well, they brought on at Morning Joe, they decided, you know what? Mika and Joe did such a great job yesterday, but we need someone who's going to
ramp it up even a step further, who's going to be a little bit more dramatic. Was Mika almost in tears yesterday talking about the soup-stealing truckers? Yes. But can we do more? Can we be more absurd? Of course. This is MSNBC. Okay? They hired Al Sharpton. They have Joy Reid, who blamed homophobic blog posts on a time-traveling hacker. They can always ramp it up a notch. Which brings us to this man. I don't know who he is. I do not know this man. Michael Beschloss? It sounds familiar, actually.
He is a wild follow on Twitter. I mean, he is in like the Tom Nichols kind of crazy sphere of tweets.
Say no more. Say Tom Nichols. I know what you're talking about. So this is what he was talking about with, he's referring to a Trump rally, which we've been told that this truckers movement, Trump rallies, it's all kind of the same thing. You know what I mean? It's all fascism. It's all racism. It's all evil. So he's talking about a Trump rally, and you wouldn't be a person, a commentator on Morning Joe at that desk, wherever they are, if you weren't going to talk about Donald Trump and also bring up Hitler in the same sentence. It kind of is a prerequisite for getting on Morning Joe. So let's take a listen. Cut 7.
Donald Trump is no Adolf Hitler. No one is an Adolf Hitler who is in a category of evil all his own. But yesterday in 1933, on that day, that's the day that Adolf Hitler came to power.
You know, play the first part of it, because I'm going to show you, I'm going to give a little tip to this Beschloss fella. And
he is the NBC News presidential historian.
Oh, very interesting.
And also contributes to PBS NewsHour and his MSNBC TV show Fireside History with Michael Beschloss.
You know who they should really make the NBC presidential historian? Brian Williams. He's not working anymore. He'd make it so much more interesting. Like, you think stories about George Washington are cool, you wait till they have the Brian Williams spin on them.
Wait till he and George Washington are in Da Nang shooting bullets down on a rice paddy.
That's what I mean. Now we're talking real history. All right, that's just a side idea. I'm giving out free ideas all the time on this show. But I want to show Michael, dear Michael, what he could have done with that. Let's play that cut one more time.
Donald Trump is no Adolf Hitler. No one is an Adolf Hitler.
There, that's where you end it. This is where he makes a mistake.
Who is in a category of evil all his own.
Wait for it.
But
that right there, right there. If you say that person's not Adolf Hitler, no one's Adolf Hitler. You know what you can use there? You can use one of AOC's favorite terms, full stop. You can full stop right there. You don't even need, this is a great thing about it. You don't need to throw in the but. It doesn't require that. He takes it another step here. Of course, we have to talk about the same people, okay, who are racking their brains trying to figure out a way to get rid of Joe Rogan, a podcaster, want to call Trump an authoritarian. This is part of it. There were a few things during the Trump years that drove me crazy. One of them was this concept that Trump was a bumbling moron, and then at the same time, you know, you take that same coin and you look at the other side of it. He is a devious, maniacal Russian asset who no one could ever convict of anything because he never had a paper trail. He was so just great at being Putin's puppet. But then at the same time, he can't walk down a ramp. He drinks water weird. He's an idiot. He watches National Geographic or a Monkey Channel all day. Or what was it? He liked watching gorillas, I think.
I don't even remember.
And eats hamburgers in bed all day. Something like that. So which one is it? That's what I want to know. And by the same token, is it that Trump's an authoritarian, or you guys want to shut everyone down who has a different opinion? Because that feels authoritarian to me. And when you look at the history of Obama and Joe Biden, the way they treat journalists, it feels more like a tyrant than when Trump was in office. So let's listen to this comparison. Cut 8.
You know, if you've got Donald Trump, even before a potential run for president in 2024, already dangling pardons in front of participants in January 6th who could get into trouble, trying to get them on his side to make sure they don't say anything that incriminates him, and threatening violence. That's an idea. That's a preview of coming attractions. When an autocrat speaks, listen.
Has he dangled pardons for anybody? I haven't seen that anywhere.
When a Morning Joe contributor speaks, don't listen. That's my tip. By the way, it was called Gorilla TV. I thought it was one of those nature channels, but I guess the rumor was Gorilla TV. But that was fact-checked, not true. All right, and let's play one more to finish out this journalism in the news from none other than Jake Tapper. Everyone's frustrated. You know, people are frustrated at Trump, who's not president anymore. They're frustrated at Joe Rogan, who has a podcast. Jake Tapper is frustrated at people who want to open schools and not mask children, because that is what we call here at the Grace Curley Show, priorities. Cut six.
One of the things that's a little bit frustrating is people demanding schools be open, people demanding that students don't have to wear masks, without acknowledging that most kids are still not vaccinated. If you want to, it seems to me, you want to open the schools as safely as possible. You know, all the kids and teachers and faculty and staff need to be vaccinated. That's the safest thing to do, right?
Why? So they can all keep spreading this disease that the vaccine doesn't stop anyone from getting and doesn't stop anyone from spreading? Yeah. I'm just trying to follow the science. I'm trying to follow the science, and it's so difficult. Every single day. Why does that need to happen for these schools to open? And P.S., you know who all of these anchors could look at when discussing schools? The schools in Florida. Let's have some studies out of the schools in Florida. Have you been hearing about all these children dying from going to school in Florida? No, you have not. And let me tell you right now, if that were the case, you would not just be hearing about it. Brian Stelter would be in your office with a bullhorn yelling it into your ear if Ron DeSantis was presiding over, you know, mass casualties dying at school. You would know that. But it's not happening. So why are we still doing this? It is just completely ridiculous. 844-500-4242. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Dr. Houghton of Perfect Smiles is a superb architect when it comes to dentistry. He's the best at what he does. He fixes your teeth, your smile, but what he really does is build the self-confidence of his patients. When you have a smile that you're proud of, it builds confidence in your professional life and in your personal life. That is so true. If you're smiling and you love your teeth and you're happy to smile, you'll probably smile more and you'll just be more confident. The better you look, the better you feel, and that helps every aspect of your life. Every interaction you have daily will be made a little bit better. If you're not afraid to smile, every other part of life becomes a lot easier. It's a new year, and you have the opportunity to make 2022 the year for a new you. If you've thought about Perfect Smiles for years, but you've never called, you've been too nervous, or you think you'll put it off, this is your sign. Now is the time. 2022 is the year for you. This year, take care of yourself. You deserve it. Call Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. They're conveniently located off Route 3 and have plenty of parking. You can reach them at PerfectSmiles.com. That's PerfectSmiles.com. Change your smile. Change your life. We'll be right back with more. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Today's poll question is brought to you by the Nauset Beach Inn. Their ocean view rooms with a fireplace are going fast, so book yours today for just $119.99. at NausetBeachInn.com. That's NausetBeachInn.com. Jared Diglio, my producer, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who's California's worst hypocrite? Gavin Newsom, Nancy Pelosi,
Nancy Pelosi,
or London Breed?
I'm going to say Gavin Newsom. He took my breath away several times over the last couple weeks. One was when he said that, what did he referred to the thieves who were ransacking the freight trains as gangs. And then he said, I'm sorry, that's a pejorative.
Yes, he had to correct so as not to offend the gang.
And let's not forget when he was cleaning up under an underpass in California, and he was throwing the rubble like a teenager who you just told to clean their room with his fancy $300 Henley shirt on. I don't know
$1,000 pants or whatever it was.
Was that true, that tweet we saw about his outfit, how expensive it was?
I don't know, but I would assume so. I mean, these people don't shop at, you know, the mall.
No, God forbid.
They don't go to Nordstrom with the commoners.
All right, so I'm going to say Newsom.
All right, Newsom is just behind Nancy Pelosi. Pelosi has overtaken the lead at 49%. Newsom is at 48% and 2% for London Breed.
I'm going to write it out and try to figure out who's had more mask hypocrisy. I mean, as far as just being a hypocrite, it's probably Pelosi. But mask-wise in California, I think it might be Newsom. He might have her beat by one or two incidences, because I count French Laundry as like three. 3 points for French Laundry. Now, speaking of California, that is where the Super Bowl will be. It's at SoFi Stadium, and they're requiring masks unless you're eating or drinking, or unless you're Gavin Newsom, I guess, and Magic Johnson, in which case you have free reign of the place. But I made a comment. I said, this is going to be the drunkest Super Bowl ever, because people are just going to constantly... Have you ever been in a situation where you have to be actively eating or drinking and you just... The beer starts flowing and you just have it up to your face at all times. That's what's going to happen. And I mean, whatever. That's going to be California's problem. But another issue people are having, and this is a little tidbit for everyone, Super Bowl foods could cost up to 14% more this year as inflation hits. And here are some of the foods: hamburgers, chicken wings. We knew that because there was a chicken wing shortage, but the price has ballooned in cost during the COVID-19 pandemic. And another thing, steak is 23% pricier. Something that they're saying could be an alternative. I love when they say this too. Like all these segments are doing these like swaps, hacks, you might say, for a way you could cut down. And they're like, you know, steaks are more expensive, so you can get a bunch of chips and guacamole. And I'm like, yeah, but that's not steak. And I'm fine. Don't get me wrong. Super Bowl, I'm fine with chips and guac. But it's not a swap for steak. You ever gone to a restaurant and said, oh, can I have the steak? And they're like, we're actually out, but we will give you a plate of chips and guac. So don't worry about it. And there's a ton of other stuff. They're saying that fruits and vegetables and potato chips are your best bang for your buck.
As long as they don't come for my Super Bowl slice of American cheese, dab of mustard and pork chop, I'm good.
Sprawled across a delicious plate of baked beans.
Yes.
It sounds delicious. Dan, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dan.
How you doing, Grace? It was great to see you on national TV the other night.
Thank you.
It was awfully nice. Grace, I go to a lot of people's homes. They're feeling that they're being encroached upon, their freedom is being taken away, their happiness is being diminished. We're being, compelled to wear masks when we find out that, the people that want us to wear masks, they're not wearing them. And we're getting so much confusion as far as, what to do and how to do it. It's just very much mixed messaging. And as far as I'm concerned, Grace, people want to get back to normal after almost 3 years. We're just getting sick and tired of this all. It's not good for the kids. It's not good for business. It's great for crime and everything that's negative. I think that people are just getting sick and tired of it. And you're seeing it as far as the truckers. You're seeing it as far as, people stepping up and talking up. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm doing it myself. I'm sick and tired of complying and going along with all this. I want to get back to the old United States, where it used to be.
Yeah, you want to get back to the before times. You want to make America great again. But it's funny you should mention that, because what you're talking about, it makes me think of the misery index, which of course is the adjusted unemployment rate with the inflation rate. But really, the misery index under Joe Biden is just exactly what it sounds like. Everybody's miserable. You don't even have to look at the numbers to know that. All right, Toby Leary's up next for Two-Way Tuesdays. Get on the line now. We'll run through your questions. 844-500-4242.